That song is beautiful. I love that song. Well, if you haven't noticed yet, this morning we're talking about Mary. But how many of you have ever had an awkward moment? Have you had awkward moments? when you've just been introduced to someone and they tell you their name and then you forget it. or maybe when you realize that you're chewing on a pen that you just borrowed from someone, you know, you're chewing on the end of it. Or perhaps you've just finished binge watching some television series and you now realize that you have no idea what you're going to do with your life. Or someone offers you a piece of gum and you wonder, did they give it to me just to be nice, or do I have bad breath? Or perhaps you are thinking to yourself, I know this happens to me a lot as a pastor. I'm talking and you wonder if anyone's actually listening. Or when you tell a joke and no one laughs and you realize that now I've got to explain it, the awkward moment, right? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to continue a series called Be Bold, and I'm excited about it because, of course, there are a lot of people in Scripture that are bold characters, I'll tell you, and some of them have had actually defining moments that have been fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. And so this morning, I want to tell you a story about a woman, a young woman, whose faith was really bold. Mary. I think maybe some of you may know her story, but you talk about one of the most awkward moments in the Bible. This has got to be it for me, at least. Her story is one that can be found in the Gospel of Luke. It's in chapter 1. And the story is one that's hard to imagine actually happening, right? It's that moment where this, not every day does this divine being walk into your presence and say to you things like, hi, how are you? Greetings. We're glad, I'm glad I'm here. The Lord is with you. I mean, that just doesn't happen every day. But on this one particular day, the angel Gabriel shows up. He's been sent by God to visit this young teenage girl in Galilee in a place called Nazareth. And this young girl, her name is Mary. She's engaged to be married to Joseph, who's from the house of David. And if you were with me last week, you might remember I was talking about this young shepherd boy by the name of David who came along and was anointed and appointed over his brothers, his older brothers, and he becomes the second king of Israel. Well, Mary and Joseph are descendants from his line. So Luke 1 tells us how the angel came to Mary and said, greetings, favored one. Verse 28 goes on to say, and then she was perplexed by his words. I love that, perplexed. That's another word for awkward moment, right? How do you think she must have reacted seeing this angel greeting her as a favored one? So I want you to open with me to your Bibles if you have them. It'll also be up here on the screen for Luke 1. We're going to start at verse 30, and we're going to go through verse 38. So the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So here's this girl. I mean, wouldn't you be perplexed if someone just said that to you, right? So here, this is how she responds. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Now, I don't think I have to exegete that particular verse for you. I think you know what I'm talking about here. And then the angel goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived will conceive a son. And this in his, she's in her sixth month for her who has said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. So again, Mary is standing there perplexed. What? My aunt is now, this cousin of mine is now with child. How can that be? And her response is this. Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departs from her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one heck of an announcement, don't you think? Can you imagine you're a teenager, you're hanging out in your room, in your bedroom, and suddenly this divine messenger comes along and dumps this news on you that you're going to have a baby? I was a teenager, and I got freaked out when my little brother would walk into the room, let alone a divine being. But Mary had to have been terrified. I mean, she was probably scared out of her mind. Not to mention this divine message that has been laid upon her for her future, not one that she would have wanted. This makes for a great story, though, don't you think? Except for the fact that Mary, it lives in this first century community, and nobody believed her. I doubt my mom and dad would have believed me if I would have walked in and said, "Hey, divine being just came in, said I'm pregnant. Going to have God's child." Do you think they would have really listened to what I was saying? Would you have listened to your child if they said that? Probably not. But I grew up in understanding that this is Mary's announcement to the world. And church tradition calls it the Annunciation. There's even a feast day called the Annunciation Day that's honored on March 25th in some traditions. And this day commemorates this defining moment for Mary. And I learned to believe that it really is based on what we call a mystery of God. Something that we can't explain how it happened, why it happened. But I learned even more about Mary through the traditions that have been passed down from the church. The bottom line, what I learned was that Mary was holy and that she became the mother of God. No matter what school of theology we think about, some think that this tends to be a Roman Catholic concept. But as you sang songs that you've probably never sung before in the United Methodist Hymnal, we actually do exonerate and understand who Mary truly was. Sadly, her story usually is only told around Christmas, and it's really around the birth of her son, Jesus Christ, who we will call Emmanuel, God with us. But we really don't hear too much or think about her story. But this is what tradition tells us. Mary was a young Jewish maiden, in some translations, or virgin. She was betrothed to Joseph. She was going to be married to this man, a carpenter in Nazareth in Galilee. And before her marriage, she was informed by this angelic vision that she would miraculously conceive a son to whom she would give birth, who would reign over all the world, reign over the throne of David. He would be called the Son of the Most High, and the teaching is based solely upon the statement contained in the scripture that I just read from Luke, and it's also in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 as well. So the virgin birth has become commonly accepted as an orthodox teaching of Christian theology. And this mystery is even embodied in the two of the best-known creeds. We're going to say one in a moment. About the year 500, the Apostles' Creed was considered part of church doctrine. We say it every Sunday. And maybe you just kind of glaze over the words, but we actually say, "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary." We also have a second, which is the Nicene Creed, which was in 325 AD, was a doctrine that stated, "We believe in one God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternally begotten the Father," and it has all these begottens in there. And then it says, "was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became human." Both creeds can be found right in our United Methodist Hymnal, and both 881 and 880 respectively. But don't look at them now, because I have another story I want to tell you. I remember when my son Justin, before he was born, we had struggled with 8 years of infertility, and then I had a miscarriage. And eventually, I prayed, and we had this child, this miracle child, and I felt to myself that this had to be one of those mysteries. Doctors were telling me there was no way I was going to be able to have a child, and then here he was. In fact, he was 23 last Sunday, so that's exciting. But my pregnancy was considered high risk, and we took numerous trips back and forth. I was living in Lakeland at the time and to Tampa to see this specialist. And I can't tell you how many times I prayed that Ave Maria that was just sung. Of course, I didn't pray it in Latin. I prayed it in English. Although I'm not Roman Catholic, I did learn this prayer going to Catholic school. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Like I said, some people pray to Mary, and I've grown up believing I can pray directly to God. But at that moment, there was, as a young woman who was desperately wanting a child, there didn't seem like any other person that would have gotten what I was going through and experiencing, other than perhaps the one who gave birth in a miraculous way to God. Mary was honored, and Mary should be loved by all of us. We don't have to venerate her to some higher status necessarily, but here she was, a young girl. She was scared. She was fragile. She was only 16 years old, or probably somewhere maybe even younger than that, a teenager. Yet humanity knows that as this Bible character, people have flaws and have imperfections, but yet this was a woman who God believed was holier than anyone else, who was going to be the one that would carry his son full term. What a miraculous thing. Unfortunately, we usually only hear, like I said, this story at Christmas time. And when you think about it, it's actually scandalous, right? It's a time full of political turmoil, and a time in which censuses were needing to be done so that we could account for people at that time. And here is this scene that we only see in our homes and the nativity sets that we set up around the church, unless, of course, you're those people that love to have the nativity up year-round. I love that. I think that's awesome, because it's a reminder every day of what was given to us. So this is the real life story of Mary, who was scared when this divine messenger comes into her life. This is a real life bold woman, a young girl named Mary, who became and fostered this child. You talk about having a fierce personality. Talking about Mary as being fierce in the sense that she developed all of the fact that she came face to face with this divine being, her fears must have just diminished, her insecurities that went away, and in place she realized that she was an individual that God had called over all other individuals. Even though I have things around me in my life like the crosses and banners and pews and Bibles, I sometimes wrestle with, God, are you sure you want me to stand up in front of people and do what I do every week? And then I'll hear someone as they walk out of the church and they say, that really hit me the way I needed it this week. And then I realize, okay, I'm supposed to do this. But we all have our doubts, and if anybody tells you, I know my purpose of life without a shadow of a doubt, they're probably lying to you. We all have our doubts at some point, right? We kind of say, I don't know if this is what I should be doing or not, but here's a woman who knew without a shadow of a doubt that she says, yes, I'll be your servant. This is especially true every time I even officiate a funeral. I think to myself, what am I going to say to this family to make them feel at peace? And that's when I realized that even in the questioning, I need hope. So when I do a funeral, that's what I do. I try to bring hope to people so that they know that their loved one is with other divine messengers and that they are present even in the valley of the shadow of death. King David, the descendant here of these wonderful people, had his fair share of doubts. And he wrote in Psalm 139, I want to read that to you as well, verses 7 through 12, these words. He said this prayer to God, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there you are. Even there your hand shall lead me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." No matter what the circumstances that you find yourself in, no matter how hard David was trying to run from God, God never left David. And God is never going to leave you. You see, the Holy Spirit dwells within each and every one of us. Every one of us. When I read these words, something happens to me. Something holy. All the anxiety leaves me when I realize that the power of God is within me. It makes me take those circumstances that I don't want to deal with and face them without fear. It teaches me how to be bold and how to be fierce. Mary understood fierce, and she understood bold, and she knew what she was called to do. She knew her purpose. But I'm sure she had her doubts. And why am I sure? Because in verse 28, it said she was perplexed. And then in verse 34, she says, "How can this be?" She doesn't doubt, but she does question. How can this be? And I wish I could be more like Mary sometimes. One announcement and I'm in for life, right? But that's not how it works. For me, God was nudging me into this position a long time ago. But I wasn't brave enough. I wasn't bold enough to say, yes, I can do this. But finding meaning and purpose can be a struggle, and especially as we enter each new phase of our lives. And I admire Mary. She's this young girl who is encountered by a divine being, and she has the courage to ask it a question. How can this be? How will this be? How is this actually going to happen? How am I going to tell my parents? And I'm sure she's thinking to herself, how am I going to tell my betrothed Joseph? How am I going to survive dealing with my neighbors when they find out and they want to stone me to death? Because that's what they would have done if they found out and Joseph wasn't there to protect her. How, Lord? How? So in other words, she gave all of herself, but she still asked the questions, how? I've been a faithful follower of the law, she says to herself. Unless you've got some kind of magic trick up your sleeve, this isn't going to happen. I may be young, but I'm not naive. I kind of know how these things work, and I've never done the deed, right? This is what she's probably going through her mind. Talk about questioning. And yet God tells her in verse 35 again, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. So I applaud Mary. And God is asking not only of her, but all of us to fulfill his divine purpose, to fulfill our purpose that we believe is in connection with his. I remember thinking to myself, God, how can I do this? I am but a woman. Like, God, can't you see that I'm a woman. It's like, why would you call me a woman into the pulpit? God, I'm not that typical minister type. Like, there's an actual minister type? And then I think about that ragtag bunch Jesus picked, and I think, okay, he can pick those guys. I guess he could pick me too. And this is her story, and this is our story, and this is the story of creation all over again, because God, in the book of Genesis, created ex nihilo. He created out of nothing. Anything is possible with God. And in the Gospels, God chose Mary to bring forth new life and new possibilities. In other words, God said, Mary, this is how it's going to happen. In the same way that I created the universe, I'm going to hover over you and I'm going to bless you, and you are going to become a part of it, part of creation. And when I reread this story and say to myself, I'm only a woman, I then remember that redemption and healing for all of creation came through the body of a woman. The sacred and beautiful God act is pregnant with hope. Mary had a choice to say yes to fear or say yes to God. And God was not and is not looking for perfection. God was just looking for a yes. So God made Mary a promise. He didn't make her guarantees. He didn't say there's going to be an easy journey here. He didn't say that this purpose, this calling is going to be without trouble, without turmoil. And Mary never signed up for easy. Yet Mary signed up to be the very mother of God. And God chose a teenage girl from Nazareth to be the source of life for the God of the universe. And she accepted it when she said, yes, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. So this is my question for you this week. Has God called you to an opportunity to grow? We all need opportunities to say yes to God. But remember, the greater the challenge for life-giving purpose, the greater the fear. And the only way to overcome fear is taking awkward moments and turning them into opportunities of hope. You know, that moment that you're asked to be a leader in the church? Or would you mind making bread for the church? Or baking something for the teachers? Or would you consider participating in singing in the worship service? You know, fill in the blank. And then you respond, well, I'll pray about it and get back to you. Let me tell you, folks, that's just a Christian way of saying, that's probably a no. But I hope that you will get excited about the possibilities that God has for each and every single one of you. The possibilities that I would love to tell you that all you have to do is say yes to whatever that might be. And then it's okay to say, well, how's that going to happen? You can ask the questions. It's okay. So you can have that doubt even in the midst of the yes. But here's a story of a woman who had bold, spirit-filled presence within her that was willing to pour out her entire life and take a leap of faith and call God into her life and say, yes, I'll be your servant. And she didn't know what was going to happen to her. She could have easily been stoned to death, but God was with her. You know, sometimes, churches, we think that, oh, well, this church is going to grow if we do this. And the church is going to grow if we do that. But let me tell you something, nothing grows without God. We can walk in and we can say we want a beautiful garden. And we can plant seeds. And we can water. But it takes the sun, right? It takes the sun. And in that metaphor, we're talking about God, to continue to grow that plant into something that will become a tree, that will take root, that will last forever. God is not through with us yet. God's not through with you yet. And you may want to run from that, and you may want to walk really fast if you haven't run in a while. My mom said, I haven't run recently. She had two knee surgeries, and she goes, I realize I haven't run in years. I said, well, you just need to learn to start walking faster. But God is patiently waiting for us to grow into fully human versions of ourselves. And God is going to take the mess and he's going to turn it into something beautiful. Think about those choices. Which choice scares you the most? You know the one that in the pit of your stomach makes you want to be sick. That's the one that God's calling you to. The one that says, there's no way this is going to work. I can't do that. That's beyond my gifts. That's beyond my talents. That's beyond the skill. You want to do something risky? You want to do something new? You want to go for bold initiatives? But the task feels impossible? Friends, God took a shepherd boy and he turned him into a king. And he took a teenage girl and he made her the mother of God. We have to act boldly. We have to act as if God can do miracles. And the more boldly we act, the more likely we are going to see miracles happen. And that's what purpose feels like. It's terrifying, and it's beyond our capacity, and it's beyond you. But yet God and the Holy Spirit that dwells within you is there to show you the way. You decide. It's your choice. You say yes. Or be led by fear. Your decision. Be bold. It's your defining moment. Let us pray. Lord, I can't stop believing and dreaming and moving forward. There is just so much more to life that this is the day that I can begin to be bold. Forgiving God, you know how easy it is for us to just celebrate with joy and wonder of your love. And we create wonderful art, and we can create wonderful fidget blankets, and we can create wonderful music that soars to the heavens and gives praise to you. You know how often we have left here in this service and we feel as if we're without fulfillment. We're asking you today to help us become ready to serve you at any time. And we place our commitment on the to-do list of life. And we're not going to let things get in the way of fulfilling what you have called us to do. Forgive our hesitancy and our self-serving ways, O Lord. Heal us of the dis-ease of seeking first our own comfort before we engage in acts of justice and mercy. Open our eyes and our ears to the cries of those in need. Help us give and also to receive ministries of love and reconciliation as we serve you with our whole hearts and our whole body. May our music, our art, our worship be fully and truly reflective of your awesome power and your abundant love for us. Amen.